It is time for another edition of Flames Unfiltered, a special version of Flames Unfiltered. As today we have an interview, and a very interesting interview with professional goaltender Matt Vernon. Yes, Matt Vernon, the son of Calgary Flames Stanley Cup winning goaltender, Hockey Hall of Famer Mike Vernon. Now, Matt's a goalie himself. He grew up in his father's footsteps playing the same position, something you don't see all that often. Matt's been had a great career. He's in the East Coast Hockey League right now. Play a little bit in the in training camp with the Calgary Wranglers, and he won a Robertson Cup in the North American Hockey League with the Aberdeen Wings. Great interview with him. Kyle and I really enjoyed our talk with him. Here it is. We'd like to welcome to the show Matt Vernon. He is currently a goaltender for the Jacksonville Icemen of the East Coast Hockey League, son of former Flames great and Hockey Hall of Famer Mike Vernon. Welcome to the show, Matt. We appreciate you joining Kyle and I here for a little bit of more Flames hockey talk.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So you're currently playing in the East Coast Hockey League and followed in your father's footsteps of being a goaltender. What was it like? Talk a little bit about growing up and when you decided, you know, hey, I think being a goalie like my dad is something I want to do.
You know, I never really wanted to. It was kind of interesting. Like back in squirts or whatever, everybody kind of rotated, but nobody on my team at that age wanted to be the goaltender, myself included. And, you know, my friends kind of were like, your dad played, like, you should play. So I kind of got stuck with it a lot more than most other kids. And I was horrible. I sucked. I talked to my dad about how he was as a kid, and he kind of picked it up naturally, always was pretty good at the game. But for me, it was the exact opposite. And I struggled always, you know, when I was young. And I don't know, like at one point I kind of learned to just stick with it. And so kind of here I am. I was never good really and playing at a very high level of hockey until I was probably 18, 19. I made my way through minor hockey in Calgary and was never the best goalie in Calgary at not even close, you know, like not even the best in my association, and kind of just stuck with it. But junior hockey is where things really turned around for me. I took it really seriously and, you know, I played for a couple of teams. I started off in the SJHL in Saskatchewan for the Yorkton Terriers. That's really where I kind of started to get my game going. Then I was able to go down to the Knoll in Aberdeen, South Dakota, where I was able to get, you know, that's where I really flourished in my junior career. Kind of as of right now, I think that's kind of the best I've ever played anywhere. We were able to win a championship my last year there before I went to CC, Colorado College.
I can definitely vouch for your play in Aberdeen. That team was very, very good, but they were also very good because of your goaltending. And
yeah,
I got to watch a lot of that firsthand because I actually live in Minot, so that was one of your bigger rivals. So that's actually where I was like, I think that's Mike Vernon's kid. And I watched you through your days of going back and forth with that rivalry and a lot of really, really good games. What brought you to get to Aberdeen, though? I mean, I guess for our listeners in Canada, the North American Hockey League is similar. I guess, would you agree, Matt, that I'd consider it kind of like the BCHL, like where a lot of guys are? Yeah. The goal of the league is to get a Division I college hockey scholarship in the U.S.
Yeah, I'd say so. I mean, it always changes by year which league's better, but the Knoll will end up with more commits, partially because it's easier for scouts to get there. And that's kind of why I wanted to get to that league. You know, I wanted to try and go for the USHL, which didn't work out. But I ended up in the Knoll because my goal was to go to college at that time. You know, I was 18, 19. My shot at going to the Dub was gone. You know, I was never really good enough for that to be much of an option. And my dad was always pressing that I use hockey to get an education, something that he didn't really do. So that's kind of what brought me there. It seemed like the best fit for sure, you know, especially as a late bloomer. That's why I wanted to go, and things just worked out, you know.
You're on a good hockey team in average, and you were, you know, you're a smaller goalie too, so you have to go through the challenges of in a world where most of the goalies are 6'2", 6'4" now. Yeah. You're 5'11", I believe, but I remember watching you a lot in person and being like, you know, he's a small goalie that is just a battler.
Yeah, that's kind of always been my thing. If you're small, you got to be athletic. Like, you got to be a lot faster than everybody else. You know, like in today's game, like, I don't have to play that much more aggressive, really, compared to some of the bigger guys. But, you know, that extra 6 inches, if you're out one way, like if you got to go cross crease, that's an extra foot, you know, if you're trying to get to the same spot, be the same size in the net as a bigger guy. So, you know, just being good with edge work and fast, that's kind of the name of the game for the smaller guys. But, you know, it's doable. Like, UC Saros is in the NHL. He's 5'10", 5'11", too. You're starting to see a few more guys right now that are making it that are right around that 6 foot range, like the lower end of being tall. So I think it's, you know, it's definitely doable and possible. So just like continuing to work on being fast and staying in proper position, like, it's nothing too crazy to say that you can't make it to the NHL at 5'10 anymore.
I think it's changed a lot the last few years, especially too. I mean, you know, looking at guys like Dustin Wolf, you know, a late draft pick, just, you know, that whole thing about lateral movement. There's also, you know, in some cases, a lot of the larger goaltenders, they break down, have injury problems because they have these big rangy frames, right? But I mean, the last few years, there was a drafting development that we're seeing a lot of guys that are, you know, we say smaller goaltenders, obviously very relative when you get guys that are 6'4", 6'5", and so forth.
Yeah, 100%. Wolfie's a great example of that. And I mean, like, teams were continuously only going after those like 6'3", 6'4", plus guys, and now you're seeing on draft boards a lot of guys that are right around that 6 foot to 6'3" range underneath that. So it's good. A guy like me loves to see it.
Exactly. Talk to us a little bit about your time in Colorado College, a premier NCHC Division I college hockey team in the U.S., and quite an accomplishment to play for them.
Yeah, I loved it there. It's such a great spot, great town. Like, we got a new rink while I was there. That was incredible. You know, it was pretty up and down for me, though. Felt like I never really was able to get into a groove. And I think part of that's on the college schedule. Like, I feel so much more comfortable now that we're playing more. But playing, you know, two games every week at the most, you know, and then you could go like 2 or 3 weeks on, and then you get a weekend off, and then 2 or 3 on, and you know, if you're not coming in as the guy and playing every game, it's pretty tough to get into a rhythm, which once we had a changeover in coaching staff, that's kind of where I ended up. The COVID year was really tough for me because we'd go 3 or 4 weeks totally fine, and then all of a sudden we'd be shut down for 10 days, and then 3 or 4 weeks again, and then shut down for 10 days of nothing. So not even practice either. So I just like, I need to be seeing the ice a lot. Whether it's game or practice, and that took its toll, and you know, but that's kind of the way things go. So battled through it the last couple of years, found my groove a bit, but always was with some pretty high-end competition. You know, Umberico there just got goalie of the month. He's an absolute stud. So, you know, him and I were just trying to learn from each other when we were there, and I was getting in games every now and then when I could and played well. So it's really all you can ask for is when you're in, you play well. So
earlier this year, you went to the Calgary Regulars training camp, correct?
Yep.
How was that experience?
It was awesome. I mean, they really pretty much just needed an extra guy. But, you know, like, that's, you know, that's an opportunity to not only get better, like, personally, like, it's opportunity to get to know those coaches, you know, get back into the team rhythm of it. You know, at that point, as an East Coast guy, like, you're a month of skating with one goalie and 4 or 5 guys. So, like, you know, there's no negative side to that for me. Like, everything was positive about it. So, you know, even if they aren't looking to bring me onto a roster right away, like, because they had, you know, they have 6 guys on contract, which is plenty. But, you know, you never know what happens in the future too. Like, with injuries and stuff, or, you know, they decide not to bring one of those guys back and they're looking for something else. Like, it's just an opportunity to get my name out there more and enjoy playing in the city I love. So it was yeah. really fun.
Oh, that's cool. It's kind of a good point, though, too, in terms of you talked, you know, in your experience about being kind of a late bloomer as a goaltender. But, I mean, you're seeing that across hockey in general at every position, right? Mm-hmm. Like, they used to be guys that get drafted, you know, so young, as obviously they still are. But, you know, those opportunities are always there. And, I mean, a camp like that, I'm sure just the people you met and the experience you had, like you mentioned, just being a part of that, I'm sure was fantastic.
Yeah, they you could tell they have a pretty good group, pretty tight-knit group there. So it was good. Yeah, it was good to be a part of that, you know, if only for a week, you know, and somebody who's, you know, the coaching staff basically brought on just to be a shooter tutor. Still fun, though.
Oh, it's definitely a fun experience. And I'm sure it was special to go back home and, because I believe your family lives in Calgary, correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
So that's nice to get back and be able to play there for a little while and get that experience. And then you went from there to the East Coast Hockey League, and you're in Jacksonville, Florida right now. So that's quite a ways away from Calgary. But yeah. Talk to us a little bit about the East Coast Hockey League and your progression so far this year.
You know, this league is fairly similar to college still, but I'd say it's just more offensive. You know, there's always going to be a few players. There's guys on NHL contracts in this league,
yeah.
You know, it like pretty much all teams, like we have six or seven guys on A contracts. We just played Orlando. They have like 10 or 11 guys on NHL or AHL contracts. Like there's always going to be good players here. And it's such a good league now. Like I was scared about how, you know, how many fights there are going to be and how gritty it was, but the league's already changed, you know, so much in the last 10 years that, you know, it's becoming a really good spot, you know. Like, you know, if the tough thing is money's not great in this league, but like if you can find a way to get a good contract but be playing in this league, it's quite easy to be happy here, especially living in Jacksonville, Florida. Like I came from the golf course here. We had an off day, you know, we were about to play three more games in 3 days, so coach gave us an off day today. Boys hit the course.
Nice.
That's definitely a bonus of playing in a state like Florida. As far as like, what's like the crowds like in the ECHL? Are you guys, are the crowds really good and everything?
I think our team should be leading the league. If not, we're top three. We get around 8,000 a game. We've had 14,000 at a game before this, like multiple times this year.
That's incredible.
That's crowds are pretty elite, you know, like Orlando probably just had 7,000 or 8,000 when we went there. Crowds are solid.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Big in Florida, man. It's been surprising me how good crowds are. Like every single Florida team gets good crowds.
So really. Did your dad have any advice about, you know, you playing in Florida? I mean, where he was a Panther for a little while?
No, not really, honestly. We didn't really talk too much about it.
Because it'd be a lot different for you than when he played there too. Like, you know, it's I'm thinking this as you're talking about, like here in Moncton, where actually your dad had played some minor league in the 80s. We've graduated a lot of NHL players to the Moncton Wildcats, like Brad Marchand, Ivan Barbashev, yeah. and so on. But the crowds there, and they're typically a very good junior team. I mean, a good night is 5,000-6,000.
Yeah, you know,
it's not a tiny city either. So those numbers are really impressive. That's awesome.
Yeah, no, it's actually been unbelievable. Like so surprising, but. It's not just big crowds too. Like you can tell they get into it. Like they really get into it. And it was surprising, but it's been awesome. You know, the only advice my dad's given me is take my rest and try to golf as much as I can. So I'm not even kidding. That's pretty much it. And then we talk after games, usually just be like, you want that one back? What did you see there? Blah, blah, blah. Like, how are you doing mentally? Like things going, do you feel good? That's about it.
Has he been pretty active in your career as you grew up and went through like
the
league and stuff?
He has, but only because I asked him to. Like, I remember when I was a kid, I gave him shit for not being harder on me. Like, I've seen so many dads, like, kind of, you know, letting their kid know what to do and what's going on and, like, kind of giving him shit every now and then. And he never was like that until I asked him to, and I'm glad. Like, I had to get that, you know, I had to get the will and – I had to want it enough myself before he was going to do that. Whereas a lot of these kids had it pushed on them. And then, you know, because of that, they just kind of shy away from hockey once it started getting really tough. But for me, I kind of just enjoyed it and enjoyed the adversity. So I'm really thankful for that. But yeah, like, it's interesting. He used to try and tell me, like, I can two pad stack, come 6 feet out of my crease and stuff. And, over, you know, he was doing that up until juniors too. Like, even in juniors, he would kind of say that. I'm like, and he finally kind of gets it. And I honestly, I think now he really understands the game of goaltending as it is these days. I think he's gotten a lot better with that over the last few years. And but mentally, it's always, it hasn't changed.
Yeah.
I mean, the style is so different from when he played to the way you play now. It's just, it's absolutely night and day. And I'm sure that is a bit of a challenge for him to be like, you know, you know, he remembers how he had to, you know, handle those difficult situations.
Yeah, no, he's gotten a lot better. He really understands the game now. I think he should get into coaching or something along those lines. Like, he knows the game so well, and he has such a great hockey mind. You know, me and my family wouldn't mind that at all, even if he was just kind of in some sort of scouting role.
Sure.
Maybe like something like that. Pick up, you know, like a role like a Ginla did with Conroy, just an advisor kind of thing. He'd be so good with it.
Do you remember when you were growing up? Do you remember at all, or were you too young when your dad was still?
No, he retired. I think I was 4 when he retired, but I don't really remember any of it.
Sure.
Do you remember how old you were when you kind of started to realize or become aware of just how well known, how good of a goaltender he was?
Honestly, like, it rarely ever hits me. Like, even to this day, still, like the Hall of Fame was pretty eye opening, you know, seeing the way that a lot of people talked about him and stuff, and meeting a bunch of the old players that he was with. But like, no, we never, he rarely ever talks about that. And he's really humble about the hockey side of it and his accomplishments. Yeah. So it's really something that never, honestly, like, it never really hits us. He's like, even to my friends too, it's always like, he's always just been Mikey.
Yeah. Well, and it's funny you say that, because I mean, I think anybody would say the best way for a guy to find their way in hockey is to kind of do it themselves. So it's interesting that, you know, the advice came, you know, later when you proved that you wanted to do it, right?
Yeah.
And I've met your dad a couple times, and super nice guy, and, you know, always takes time for fans and just to shoot the shit. And, yeah, it's really cool to hear you say that. I want to ask you too, actually, because were you born in San Jose? Because that's where he was playing at the time.
Okay. Yeah.
And you were basically raised in Calgary, because he retired, I think, 4 years after that.
Yeah. So technically I have lived, like, this is pretty much my first time in Florida, but I have technically lived in Florida.
Yeah.
For like the year when he was with the Panthers. So.
Oh, that's cool. Very cool.
Kind of interesting.
So the reason this whole thing got started with me talking to you is, number one, I had the, I knew who you were just through watching you play in Aberdeen. And then we on one of our previous podcasts, we were talking about, we were talking about the Hall of Fame and your dad's induction into the Hall of Fame. And we were discussing jersey numbers, because Kyle's he's a jersey freak. He's a game worn collector jersey, and he knows, he's a numbers guy. So I give him a hard time about it all the time, but we were wondering why, when your dad came back to Calgary, he was number 29. And I said, I would figure it out somehow. And I reached out to you, and you gave me the answer, but can you tell that story a little bit?
Yeah. Who was his goalie partner at the time again? Do you guys remember?
In Calgary?
Yeah. When he came back.
He came back with Freddie Brathwaite.
Yeah. So Freddie was wearing 30, and Freddie was like, oh my God, Vernie, here, take this number. Like, it's all you. Like, you've won a cup here with this number. You've been here 10 years, whatever it is, whatever it was, like, it's all you. And Mikey's like, nah, don't worry about it.
I don't really care. Kind of speaks to the humility you talked about.
I just spent like 4 or 5 years wearing 29. I'll take 29. Don't worry about it. That's it. Oh,
that's cool. That's right. Because he was 29 in San Jose, wasn't he?
He was in San Jose, and he was in Detroit. I don't remember when it was in Florida, though. I think it was 30, actually. But
yeah, he was 29 in Detroit. You know, when your dad talks about his NHL career, does he talk about Calgary more, or like, because his years in Detroit were pretty special years,
I guess.
Yeah, it's a pretty even split. You know, I'd probably say, honestly, a good amount about Detroit. But it also depends on what we ask. I don't ask a ton about the Calgary days, and you know, it's easier to ask about the Detroit days, because I, like, my mom was around for all of that, so usually she'll answer the stories just as much as him.
Okay,
he doesn't dwell on the past too much, so he kind of just, yeah, we don't even ask a ton.
What does he say about the fight?
Fuck, I like, that's just, it's just a weird one, you know, like he didn't want to fight. Come on, he's 5'7". Like, yeah. Patrick Waugh's 6'3". You think he wanted to get involved in that? Yeah. He was up there just pulling guys off, and then he had to get involved in it. So
he held his own.
Somebody he wasn't gonna get involved, and then one of his players was getting kind of double teamed on the ground or whatever. I'm not exactly 100% sure. I always try to stay away from the fight stuff. But he like just got in just to pull him away. And I think Patrick Waugh was already throwing fists and shit in there. And
oh, no doubt. Patrick's a,
yeah, you know, he was
fiery guy at the worst times. Yeah.
And then all of a sudden he sees my dad and just goes straight at him. So
crazy. So, yeah. And actually, that's another thing that I think is kind of interesting is you talk about, you know, I'm going to tie this to both you, I guess. You know, you talk about your father and how well you think you do in advisory role or a coaching role and any number of roles, right? But he's pretty successful in real estate, if I'm not mistaken, after his playing days ended, right?
Yeah, he was for a bit. He's kind of out of it right now. You know, 08 was pretty tough. There's a couple tough things, but, you know, that's also partially on my mom, honestly. Like, I got to give her credit. Like, a lot of the success they had, you know, it started with using Mikey's money, but they made a bunch of money through flipping, buying houses, renovating, and flipping them when they'd move from team to team.
Smart.
I think that's pretty it's pretty important to include my mom's role in that, because she's an interior designer. So.
Oh, very cool. Yeah.
Yeah. That's where a lot of it came into play.
Cause that's like that. Brad and I are both in the construction business. Like, that's our day to day job. Right. And, it's when you talk about, you know, the importance of an education, you know, throughout your hockey playing days, regardless of where your career goes. I mean, there's injuries, there's everything else, right? You got to kind of have something else to fall back on. And I think it's interesting that now, having done all that and have all that experience, that, you know, maybe now he's potentially thinking about another role in hockey or taking a role somewhere, hopefully, because obviously he knows a ton and it's somebody's going to benefit from that, right?
It's just such an easy day job for him. Like, he wouldn't have to do that much, and you know, he's a Hall of Famer. Like, I'm sure he'd be wanted somewhere for a good, and pay him pretty handsomely for a small amount of work.
Yeah.
So like, that's it. Just makes sense.
So obviously, you know, you're working to progress your career in playing in the East Coast Hockey League. What are your aspirations when your playing career ends someday? Do you want to stay in the hockey, or do you got any long-term goals?
I have no idea, essentially. You know, I've looked at a lot of things that I think could seem interesting, whether it's something involving real estate, you know, finance, maybe, you know, I just really am unsure, honestly. I'll probably try and go into a few different types of jobs. You know, I can learn a bunch of different things. Investment banking also seems interesting to me. I've got a few friends that are involved in it. Like, it's such a grind, but once you're through, for, you know, you make so much money, and once you're, you know, 10 years down the line, you have so much financial freedom too, and things start to lighten up for you. So I think that could be something I'm looking at potentially. I do know that I don't think I'd want to get into hockey stuff, though. I got to do the same thing with my dad, pretty much just pull right out of it.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. I do goalie coaching and stuff in the summers. It's fine. You know, it pays well for the amount of work we do at that point, but, and it's easy to work around with the schedule, but I don't know. I feel like there's already a lot of goalie coaches and stuff out there that do that stuff, especially in Calgary. So
you spend your summers in Calgary then?
Yeah, pretty much. I won't be coaching until I have kids that play. That's the way I see it.
That, and you know what? That may spark something inside of you too, because I know when my son got older and I coached him, it changes. You know, I was out of hockey for a long time, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, you know, you get to watch your son, and it's a lot of fun, or even your daughter nowadays with the way it is.
Yeah, with the, you know, the PWL starting to get some really good traction. I've seen a few videos of the crowds they're bringing in too. Like, yeah, women's hockey has been making great strides. It's great to see.
Yeah, but actually a bunch of the guys at work today were talking about it, and I watched some highlights myself, and it's damn good hockey. It really, really is. And it just needs that exposure, right? Much like what you're saying with the ECHL. I mean, there's a ton of guys that, you know, it's pro hockey. There's a lot of guys with deals there, a lot of prospects there. Like, you know, it just needs the exposure, right?
Absolutely.
Any other memories as you went through hockey, and I'm sure there was a lot of extra pressure on you having a father that played goalie. Did you feel that pressure, or was it just, I don't care, I'm just playing hockey because I love it?
Yeah, that's kind of where I got to. Like, it took a few years for me to learn to love it, but I played because I loved it. And, you know, I always thought growing up I'd get more kids giving me shit for, like, not being very good compared to my dad. But I swear I've only been chirped on it once in a game in my entire
career.
In, like, I was like 17.
What league was that in?
Like midget double A.
Okay.
Chirped me on. I was like, I mean, no shit. Like, what are you talking about? This guy was in the WHL at our age. Like, I'm 17 years old, obviously.
It's good though that you took it that way. You
know, yeah. I mean, we won. We beat him like 4-1. I think it was in playoffs too.
Oh, even better! Love it. And where's that guy now? Does anybody know?
No, I never really cared enough. Like, I mean, I doubt that he went very far. None of us really did. Like, we actually won provincials that year in midget double A. Funny enough, I play against one of those kids right now. One of the guys, his name's Colton Young. He was on my team in midget double A, and he's with Greenville. They're I think they're the best team in the league right now, points wise. Like, they've lost four games out of 33. Like, they're
21-9-1. I just pulled it up. Good team.
They must have lost a few in a row. I think I swear they went into Christmas with four losses. It was outrageous.
Wow.
Yeah, they're such a good team right now. So, you know, they're not even the hottest team in our division. Jeez. Orlando, who we just played and lost 6-3 to. So
they're the hottest team, huh?
Yeah,
it's all over the place. They're 8-2-0 in their last 10.
Yeah.
Greenville's 4-5-1. So
4-5-1.
Yeah, a little bit of a skid since Christmas, huh?
Yeah. I know. It's crazy how things work in this league though. Like, Atlanta started off the year 8-0, and they're like, they're way down.
I was looking at them earlier. Yeah, big time.
Yeah, they've only won 11 games.
Yeah, they've won 3 out of the last like 20. It's I don't understand how it happens, but that's just pro hockey for you.
Yeah,
crazy,
like, crazy. And they lost a few guys when they started their skid, but the rest of their team came back. Like, they're pretty much all there now.
Still can't pull the nose up. Wow.
Yeah, it's brutal.
Crazy.
When you look back at your career, like, what's your greatest memory?
It's got to be probably winning the Robertson Cup for sure. You know, that's just so special. That was such a tight group of guys. Like, our group chat from that team was firing off the other day.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
How did that playoff run go? Remind me. Your first round was against, was it Austin?
I think so. It was because Bismarck was brutal that year, so they didn't make playoffs.
Make the playoffs.
Neither did Minnesota. Neither did the Wilderness. And I think it was – so I think we were Austin. Who do you remember who Minot would have played first round? It was – I was thinking it was either Austin or Minot.
Yeah, but you guys –
Minot was in to win the division.
Yeah, I thought we were I thought it was you. I don't even remember who we played first round that year. I don't know, but I think you played Minot for the division championship.
We did.
Who did you play in the Robertson Cup championship?
Started off with Amarillo. They beat us in the first game in the best of three series. They were up one, and we were down 2-0 going into the second period.
Yep.
And brought it back. Captain scored in overtime. Then we shut them out the next night, 3-0. Started playing unbelievable. And then
in the championship, it was
Fairbanks. We've been 2-1.
Fairbanks had won the year before. They had won the Rockies the year before.
They were kind of putting a whooping on us. Like shots were like 32, 33 to, I don't know, I think we had 18. Yeah, they were an unbelievable team. They're big and fast.
Oh, what an impressive run for you and Neth, though. I mean, you played the whole way through, and it was crazy.
I had what, 52 regular season, and then 15 games in playoffs. I played like 65 games.
Yeah, that's a lot. That's a lot.
Holy cow! That was a big
year. No wonder you're rubbing your eyes just thinking about it, eh?
0.934 save percentage. Wow.
Yeah. That was a good team, man. That was an unbelievable team. We went on a 19 game win streak in the middle of it.
I remember that.
Holy Lord.
And how many guys committed Division I from that roster? Was it up? It was like 15 or so, didn't it?
So I think we, by the end of the year, we had 14, but then there was like three or four guys from that roster that committed within the next year or two.
Yeah. So, you guys were really, really good team.
Yeah, it was solid.
Yeah, it's unreal. Wow.
Well, Matt, I appreciate you joining us here today, and it's always good talking hockey and learning a little bit about how it was to be a goalie following in his father's footsteps. And we really appreciate you joining the show.
Yeah, it's been awesome. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for joining us for another edition of Flames Unfiltered, a special edition where we sat down with Matt Vernon. Great conversation. Kyle and I sure enjoyed it. We hope you did too. You can check out Flames Unfiltered every single week. Kyle and I are here talking Flames hockey every week. Check us out on all the major podcast players and YouTube. Till next week, Flames fans, we'll see ya.
Thanks for listening to Flames Unfiltered with Brad Berube and Kyle Lewis, your source for unfiltered Calgary Flames hockey talk. Keep it locked on flamesunfiltered.ca. Subscribe where you get all your podcasts to never miss an episode. Flames hockey talk every week presented by Inside Edge Hockey Media Group.